Thank you, choir, for preparing us as we come to another harvest service. And Jeremiah chapter 5 challenges us with these words: "Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I placed the sand as the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say in their hearts, 'Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest.'" Let us stand and sing, and it's on the screen, the great harvest hymn. "Come, you thankful people, come," raise the song of Harvest Home. A great hymn, a very challenging hymn, a very solemn hymn. "Come, ye thankful people, come." Let's bring our service to the Lord in prayer. And O God, as we come into your presence tonight, this hymn always reminds me of the parable of the wheat and the weeds, both growing together until the harvest. The saved and the unsaved existing side by side. And there's going to come that day that there will be a great separation of the two. the saved and unsaved, the weeds taken away to be burned, the unsaved, the Christ rejectors taken away to eternal punishment in hell forever. And the wheat, the Christ receivers, taken home to heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. What could be more solemn than that? As we are reminded of these things, how heart-searching and challenging these things are. But this is the harvest. And it's not just a time to do the rounds of the churches for about 5 or 6 weeks. But this is serious business. These things concern our eternal souls. And we pray, Lord, as we have another opportunity to listen to your word and be reminded of these things, O God, we pray that you'll bless your word tonight to us. Bless the one who's come to minister your word. We thank you for his ministry over the years. Thank you for his consistency. And we pray that you'll bless him tonight. We thank you for the word already preached today. And may this be a blessed day in someone's life. This 2nd of October 2011, when they met with the Savior. And so draw near, O God, at this time, and bless us and remember us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm very glad to welcome to our pulpit tonight my good friend and colleague, the Reverend Colin McFarland. Colin is retired now. Well, I think it's only the car that's retired. Colin is as busy as ever. He has served in 3 of our churches. He was many years in Coleraine, and then Bangor, and Carrickfergus, and even before that, he was some years in the Belfast City Mission. And so he has many years of service, great experience, and we're certainly glad to have him tonight as our speaker. He's going to come and read the scriptures to us, and we thank the choir again for their ministry and song today, and the group. And they're going to sing a piece, God is Our Father, after the scripture reading. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raymond, for the invitation to come. I'm only here tonight as a substitute. I was reading there that during the week or so there that there was a footballer, fairly famous one, who refused to come on as a substitute. And there was a bit of controversy about him. Now, the Reverend Harry Ray was to be with you this evening, but he isn't too well. And so I have come on as a substitute, and I don't mind. I hope there's no controversy afterwards. We're going to read tonight from Psalm 116. The psalmist says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth his simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Again, let's all stand and sing another hymn, God of all ages, and Lord for all time, creator of all things, in perfect design, for fields ripe for harvest, for rich golden grain, for beauty in nature, we thank you again. And we see evidence of all that around us, don't we, at this time of the year.
Of all.
Lovely hymns chosen today at both our services. And thank you indeed for those who did that. And a very warm welcome to you tonight. And those of you who are visiting, trust the Lord will bless you as you worship with us here. And the services and the activities for this incoming week, thanks again to all who prepared the church throughout the week and yesterday, and those who supplied the harvest fair for display. But all this needs taken away again, and so we meet tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and I hope as many as possible can come along for dismantling and bagging, distributing throughout the day. The things will be slightly different tomorrow, but I trust that we shall have good help tomorrow from 10 o'clock onwards. And then Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study, always an important meeting in the life and witness of any church. And Wednesday morning begins the Ladies' Good Company meeting at 11 o'clock. And those of you who have been there before, you know what it's like. It's informal. You come in at 11 for a cup of tea, coffee, whatever. And then there's always a message given by a visiting speaker. Mrs. Marie Murphy will be along on Wednesday morning. And also there may be a visitor from Hong Kong as well on Wednesday morning. The deacons' meeting will meet at 8 o'clock on Friday night, and then next Lord's Day, 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class, I will speak at the morning service. Steve E., time of prayer, 6:10, and then the Ballymena Christian Male Voice Choir, responsible for the evening service. Then believers will meet around the Lord's table after the evening service. And at 8 o'clock will be the meeting of the Pathfinders. And the young women's group, just to plan ahead, the week after at the home of Ruth Knox at Rossburn Manor in Connor. And that'll be around 7:30 or so. But more detailed announcement about that next week. Now, these are all the announcements, and this is also a gift day. I'm in our church, a Sunday in October, the harvest in October, our anniversary Sunday in May, when we give that wee bit extra to the Lord's work in this place and through this place to others. So thank you for that, and we'll now take those up and thank you. And thanks for the team down at the back there for all those lovely harvest images and scriptures and all there in our services today. Thank you. Let's just have another word of prayer. And then after that, the choir will sing again for Beauty of Meadows. Heavenly Father, we know that we're one of many services today, meeting like this. There are other harvest thanksgiving services. And Lord, just bless your word that is preached across our land. May it bring help and blessing to many. Lord, when we think of our world, and as we have just sung, Lord, you have made this world where its resources are ample for civilization. But yet sin has made man greedy. There is greed. And because of greed, people are suffering. And there is such an imbalance. And it's not your fault. People are quick to point the finger at God. Oh, if there's a God, why is this happening? It's because of the sin of our hearts and how there's much selfishness and greed. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus came to deliver from sin. And we can be saved. Our lives and attitudes can be changed. And so, Lord, bless your word that is preached this night. May it bring blessing to many. Bless those Christians, Lord, that you have in the corridors of power, in the House of Lords, in Westminster, in Stormont, in local councils. Thank you for their influences. Bless them, we do pray. And we thank you for the likes of the Christian Institute and Media Watch. We thank you for all of these things that have influence. And Lord, bless their witness for you. And Lord, we just look to you now and pray for your blessing among us. And once again, thank you for your word. How Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall never pass away. Bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Creatures of seas, for
Thank you, choir. That was great today. Great pieces that you've practiced for our harvest today. We're going to sing a hymn, and then Colin will conduct the rest of the service. Thou art worthy to receive glory, glory and honour and power.
Well, before we turn to our message for this evening, could I just commend you on how well the church is looking and how well the choir sung there too. I was really delighted, and everything just is looking great, and you're to be commended for this. And I pray for our churches every day. Raymond missed one out. I did 3 years in Conesbrook as well. So, and I'm helping now in Newton Arts until their new pastor comes at the end of the year. But it's lovely to be here this evening with you and share in your Harvest Thanksgiving service. Before we turn to the Word, let's turn to the Lord. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is the entrance of your Word that brings light. And we pray that as your word goes forth this evening, that the Holy Spirit may direct it to each and every one of our hearts, just as we need. For Lord, you know our needs. For those of us who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be challenged in such a way that we will be more wholehearted in our love and service for you. And perhaps, dear Lord, if there are some this evening, and as yet they haven't made that personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, grant that as the word of God goes forth, that it may touch their hearts and, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, bring them to that place where they will surrender to you. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. You know, very often when you come to a Harvest Thanksgiving service like this, you're expected to speak on a harvest theme. And there are many, many great texts on harvest right throughout the Scriptures. In Genesis 8:22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." And that's a great harvest promise, isn't it? And then in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that's a great harvest principle, that you reap just whatever you sow. In Proverbs 6:6-8, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." That's a great harvest parable that was told in the Old Testament. And of course, in Jeremiah 8:20, it says, "The harvest is past and the summer is ended." We know that, okay, don't we? And then it adds, "And we are not saved." And that's a great harvest plight, an awful predicament, an awful plight to be in, that time would pass and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And then in Matthew 9:38, it says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And that's a great harvest prayer. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." And then in Isaiah 9:3, it says, "They joy before thee according to the joy of harvest." And that's a great harvest praise. And this is what we're doing this evening. We're praising and thanking God for the great harvest that he has given us constantly, year after year. But what I want to dwell on tonight is a text in the portion of Scripture that we read, Psalm 116, and in verse 12 it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" And I'm entitling this "A Great Harvest Problem." Well, I call it a great harvest problem for this reason, because while there are certain times in the year, certain occasions and certain incidents that make us think, perhaps there is no time like harvest time that make us think of the goodness of God. Perhaps the psalmist was at a time like that, a time of blessing in his life. And he realized he couldn't just take everything from God and not give something back. Now, there's many in our own country today, throughout our province, and they are takers, but they're not givers. And the psalmist wanted to be a giver as well as a taker. And so he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" It was a problem for the psalmist long ago. I believe we should face up to the same situation and to the same problem as well. Do you know, in this psalm, we have a declaration of the psalmist's love. He starts off in verse 1 by saying, "I love the Lord." That's a great thing, to love the Lord. We can love a woman or a man, we can love her husband or wife, a boy or a girl, we can love our children or friends and family. But do you know, it's a great thing to love the Lord. And to love him so much, you know, the Lord Jesus said that even he that would love his father, mother, brother, sister, all the rest of the family more than me is not worthy to be my disciple. And we need to take up the cross daily and follow him. It's God first, God first. We must love him. "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength," was what the Lord Jesus said was the sum of all the commandments. It's a declaration of the psalmist's love. And then we have an explanation of the psalmist's love. Oh, he says, "I love the Lord because." There's always a reason, isn't there? And he loved the Lord because he heard his voice. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." God had been so good to him. and blessed them in so many different ways. A declaration of his love, an explanation of his love. And then in verse 12, this is an expression of the psalmist's love. He says what? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This was a problem. And it's how best to show his gratitude to Almighty God for all his goodness and mercy and love to him. This, first of all, I would say, was a personal problem. For he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, we come this evening, and throughout the day, you have come collectively for to sing the praise of Almighty God, and rightfully so. We come together to express collectively our thanks to him for all his goodness. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it has to be a personal and individual thing. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Isn't it a problem at Christmas time? Do you ever find that it is? I'm finding it more so the older I get. What do you get people that have everything anyway? And what should you get people who have everything anyway? And it does become a problem. Even with the grandchildren, when they're grown up now, well, you can't just give them a toy. You have to give them some money in their card or whatever it might be. So it can be a problem. But it's nothing compared to the problem of what we should be giving God. What shall I render unto the Lord? We often generalize, don't we? We think collectively. We think as a group. We think as a church. We think as a fellowship. But the psalmist's challenge is for us to think individually and to think personally. We think that sometimes our thanksgiving is merely a collective thing. But just as God has dealt with us and blessed each of us individually, so individually and personally, we must return our thanks. It's not something somebody else could do for us. You know, sometimes we say, tell somebody was asking for them. And so we pass on the word of thanks or whatever it might be. We can't do that with God. We can't say, Lord, Tom Brown was asking for you. No, it's something that we do personally. Whenever I was in the city mission, I was doing some door-to-door visitation one day. Came across this door and it opened and the man of the house was standing there. I had a little leaflet in my hand and I gave him the leaflet and gave him an invitation along to the mission hall. And he looks at it for a moment and he says, I'll pass this on to the wife. Oh, I said, if you're giving that to the wife, I'll give one to you for yourself. Ah, so often we pass the buck, don't we? Somebody else can do it. But the psalmist was ready to face up to the problem. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? When you think of it, God has been good to us, hasn't he? While we don't get the best of the weather, we don't get the worst of the weather. We have a harvest every year to some degree or other. We have always bread and food on the table. God has really blessed us in so many ways, hasn't he? And so the psalmist says, it was a personal problem. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit toward me? Not us, me. It wasn't only a personal problem. It was a proper and a personal question. It was a proper question for all his benefits. All his benefits. He was thinking of the goodness of God in response to prayer. Psalm 34, he says, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, there are themes that run through the Psalms. You have one theme where there are problems, just like the psalmist here. You have the problem, and then you have the prayer, and then at the end you have the praise. And there's a similar theme where you have trouble, and you have trust, and you have triumph at the very end. And you can see this running through the Psalms. You just think of it as you read through them. I read a psalm every day. You know, a psalm a day can help to keep the devil away. So you just read through the Psalms. I read through them constantly. When I finish at the 150th, I'll start again at Psalm number 1. Of course, it's not the only scriptures that I'm reading, but I like to feed my soul and my mind on the Psalms. It seems to be me in there. It suits my situation. It challenges my heart, and God speaks to me through it. And it helps me for the day. The goodness of God. Oh, it says, He heard my voice, and He inclined His ear. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. God was good. In verse 4, it says, He called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, hear my prayer. And so, God was good. This was a proper question. It wasn't something away out. It was right in context. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? There was the goodness of God and the graciousness of God in meeting His need. I often say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by the goodness of God, I have what I have. And God has been good. And God has been gracious to each and every one of us. If we are saved, look at the benefits and blessings that He has given us over the years. His presence with us, His blessing upon us. And if you haven't come to faith in the Lord Jesus as yet, why, He's given you time to trust in the Lord as Savior. Think of some of those blessings that we have. I have just jotted down here 10 great blessings. The blessing of health. Isn't it good? Someone was saying to me just today, if you have your health, isn't that everything? Well, certainly very near everything, isn't it? The blessing of sight and hearing and our faculties. Over the years, I've ministered to people who have lost their sight or hearing. It can be difficult. But you know, God has been good to us. The blessing of family and friends. The blessing of financial provision. The blessing of the location and climate in which we live. The blessing of education and learning. The blessing of a roof over your head. Every night I just thank the Lord for shelter from the elements. Not too often for the heat, but certainly for the cold and from the rain as well. Just the Lord providing that for us day by day. The blessing of food to eat. The blessing of clinics and hospitals. And those who care for us in those particular places. The blessing of a democratic government. So on. Couldn't we go on and on? In Psalm 4, you know, the psalmist there looks at some of his blessings that the Lord has given him. He says, Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We wouldn't think that the blessing of enlargement was a blessing. That God, whenever He was in distress, made His experience far wider and bigger than ever He had before. I was in a home yesterday, the home of a friend of mine. I looked at his body in the coffin. He committed suicide on Thursday morning, around about 49, 50 years of age. His son was standing beside the coffin weeping, his only son in his mid-20s. But that wasn't all the tragedy. My friend's wife committed suicide 3 weeks before. How do you minister in a situation like that? And yet, through it all, you can still have the peace of God. And you can minister whenever you've come through circumstances and situations like that. You find that enlarges your experience. My second wife died 2.5 years ago now. And simply because of her loss, I can minister to those in a similar situation. God has enlarged me. And whenever you have sickness or sorrows or different circumstances that are trying you, do you know what God is doing? He's not making you bitter. He wants to make you better. And he's enlarging you, the whole scope of your existence, and bringing you into a place where you can be a benefit to others as you learn to trust him for everything. In that psalm also in verse 3, it says, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him." That's a blessing of encouragement. That whenever he prayed, he knew that God would hear. And that always lifted him up. In verses 4 and 5, there is a blessing there of enablement. It says in verse 5, "Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." He knew that the Lord would give him the strength just to go through. And then there was a blessing of enjoyment as well. He said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time when their corn and wine increased." Whenever they gathered the harvest in, there was a time of celebration in those days. They celebrated probably in a different way from us today. And there was a lot of revelry. And the psalmist could say, "You have put joy and rejoicing in my heart to a far greater degree than those people. Those people in the world who do worldly things for their pleasure. You have given me that inner peace and joy." And then there was a blessing that I call the blessing of enfoldment. He says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." He was just picturing that underneath and round about are those everlasting arms. Whenever he laid his head down on a pillow, there was peace. Have you peace at night? When I was ministering in Coleraine, there was a young woman trusted the Lord. And one night she sent for me. And she said, "I would like you to come and see Willie." So Willie had been attending the services in the church. And after a minute or two, when we got over the formalities, and I said, "Willie, what's the problem?" He says, "Well, I've been thinking things over, Mr. McFarland, and you know, I'm not afraid of dying." And he paused, and I said, "No, Willie, but I'll tell you what your problem is. You're afraid of what comes after death. It's appointed unto man, you know, once to die, but after death there's a judgment. You can't avoid death, and you can't avoid meeting the Lord after it. We all have to stand before him. For the Christian, they'll give an account of their works done in the body. For the unconverted person, they'll hear those words, 'Depart from me, never knew you.' How sad." Well, Willie says, "Yes, Mr. McFarland, I think you're right." And that night, as we talked together and prayed, he trusted the Lord. When he and his wife went to bed that night, he looked at her and he lifted a Bible on the table at the side of the bed, and he said to her, "Where would you read? Where would you begin to read?" Well, he didn't read much of the Bible. And she says, "Well, two friends in the church, They taught me to read Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, and he read them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's a wonderful text. Now he says, that's not what I'm looking for. But he went down the chapter, and here it said that he giveth his beloved sleep. That's for me. And that was the first night's sleep he had in months. Why? Because he was right with God, and there was peace in his soul. What blessings we have. A personal problem, a proper problem or proper question, and then it was a present question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The very inference in this great harvest text, surely, is that there was a need to respond here and now. Didn't say, what shall I give next week? What shall I give next year? What about waiting till next year to the harvest time? That's time enough, you know, to give the Lord thanks. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Oh, it's a present question. What are you giving the Lord this year? Not simply the praise of our lips, but what about the handing over of our life? Quite recently, one of my friends, young man, in an association that I'm in, came to me and said, you know, Colin, I've gone back to church. I was delighted to hear that. And then just the other night, one of our friends said, do you know, Paul has trusted the Lord. That rejoices your heart to hear that. What shall I render unto the Lord? And he wasn't putting it off the next year. Thank God he did it there and then. He wanted to do it while things were fresh in his mind. You see, tomorrow you can forget all about the harvest. You can sit in the two harvest services today and go out tomorrow and forget all about it. What shall I render unto the Lord? While it's still fresh there, now's the time to think about it and to act upon it. And while he could still appreciate and call upon God's goodness, that's the time to do it. It was a present question. But it was also a pressing question. Why there's such an impact made by this text? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? It was urgent, so it was. And it was pressing on him. Why? Because tomorrow may be too late. Wanted to thank the Lord there and then. And because our best opportunity is today, don't procrastinate and put it off. I visited a man in the Royal Victoria Hospital at the request of some friends. I'd never met him before in my life. And we got into conversation and got on extremely well. And he said, you know, I've got some Christian friends, Mr. McFarland, and I admire them. They're good people. And someday I'm going to become a Christian. It wasn't just there and then. He wasn't going to do it there and then. Someday. And you know, I was told he had 2 weeks to live. And I tried to impress upon him that now is indeed the accepted time. However, the Lord spurred and extended his life and gave him months instead of a couple of weeks. And one day when I went into the home, after many visits to him, he said, Mr. McFarland, I've done what you've been saying. I've trusted the Lord. And he bore that testimony to his daughters and the family until the job of burying him in the cemetery. Oh, you see, it was a pressing question for him. The psalmist realized he should give something. The psalmist realized he could give something. He came to the place where he would give something. And he came, I think, in his life to that place where he must give something. Have you come to that place yet? You must do something about it. You know, it's no good putting it off to another year, another harvest time, even another week. No, trust the Lord. I was at Coleraine last Sunday evening at the closing night of their mission. And Roger Carswell was saying at the conclusion of the meeting, he said, you know, once I made a mistake. He said, a young man, you know, thinking about trusting the Lord. And he was a school teacher at the time, was Roger. And he said to this boy, well, go home and think about it. And come back tomorrow and we'll talk about it. And the boy was killed on his way home. And he said, I would never do that again. Make up your mind and do it now. The big question was, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What? That's the problem, isn't it? It's a great problem, a great harvest problem. He said in verses 14 and 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. He was going to promise the Lord to serve him. It wasn't just words. He said, I will. His intellect, his mind, his will was all working that way. He wanted to be God's servant. Why? He said, I am thy servant. He had come into contact with God. He paid his vows. There was not only intent, there was content. Someone has said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And he just didn't intend to give God something. He was contented in his heart and mind that he would give God something. And he would give him his life. It was a willing sacrifice. In Leviticus 22 and 29 it says, And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Don't let anybody else do it for you. Just your mind. You have made up. Lord, this is my offering. I'm bringing it myself. Whenever the Israelites of old brought their offering to the priest, and they laid their hand on the lamb or the kid or whatever the sacrifice was, and they identified themselves and their sin with that little animal that was going to die in their place, and it was killed instead of them for their sin. I was saying that I'm the substitute tonight, but there was another great substitute for us. John pointed to him one day and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was the Lord Jesus. And he became our substitute. He died on that middle cross in our place for our sin, that we might be pardoned. But it's not automatic. You have to ask him to pardon you. You have to come and confess your sin and say, Lord Jesus, I want to trust you as my Savior. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do on Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday? What shall I, you and me, render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward us? What are we going to do? For me, I have to do it too. I have to give myself as wholeheartedly as I can in the service of God. This is my 47th year in full-time Christian service. There was about 10 years or more prior to that when I was serving the Lord in a part-time capacity. And I never regret one minute of it. There are times whenever I've been tried and tempted, but God is good and God is faithful. And even now this comes to me as a challenge. What shall I? God has been good to me. Through the ups and downs of life, I have faced the hills and I've faced the valleys. But he's been there through it all. If I could share something with you, my daughter has MS. She's been encouraged recently by one or two of her friends to try and write a little book of her experience over the years. And she was wondering what the title ought to be. And I said to her when she told me this, I'll give you your title. There's a piece that she loved to sing herself. She used to play a guitar a little bit before her MS was so bad and her sight went. And it was called Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus through it all. And I said, the title of your book will be Through It All. And here was the psalmist, through it all, was saying, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Are we going to take everything and say nothing? Or are we going to take everything and with a humble, thankful heart come and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender all? Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the challenge of it. We pray, Lord, you will help us to face up to it. And may, as we leave this place this evening, may each of us know what it is to go with God. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. 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 Now we're singing our concluding hymn. We'll stand and sing Lord of the Harvest.
Thank you.
And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us this night and even forevermore. Amen.